for me. What beautiful words we just sang about Jesus, our Savior, and our belief in Him. We trust Jesus. All the things that were said about Jesus, we believe. All the things that He taught, we believe. All the things that He did, we believe. And that's exciting when you think about how easy it is to believe. And there are so many in this world that have tried from the very beginning, even in the garden, you think about this, even as far back as the garden, people were attacking two basic things. They wanted to attack truth, and they wanted to destroy the history of it. In Genesis chapter 3 and at verse 4, you remember the serpent, he said to Eve, who knew the truth, "Surely you will not die." And then you think about Adam. After sin had entered into him, he said to God, "The woman you gave me, she gave me the fruit of that tree, and I ate." He said that, Genesis chapter 3 and at verse 12. And of course, after that fact, we remember in verse 13 what Eve said, "The serpent deceived and I ate." Each one trying to manipulate the truth and the bottom line, trying to eliminate what actually did happen in their own minds. And man is still attacking truth. Man is still attacking history today. And we see that in the tearing down of statues. They think they're going to change history, destroying books, altering history books, literally. Taking certain aspects of history out of the books that are taught in the schools. And they believe that's going to erase history. And none of these things ever change the truth. I believe in Jesus because of the things that took place. I know my Lord and the things that He's done for me. And I believe those things. And all the destroying of books, all the tearing down of historical things, all the changing of man's minds about the truth, they don't change the very truth. You can choose not to believe. That's your prerogative. But what you're choosing not to believe are all the things that we just sang about. What you're choosing not to believe are the truths that are laid out in history. Historical truths, multiple witnesses, and literally the Word of God. And you can choose not to believe the historical events, but they happen. You can choose to not believe the truth, but it's still truth. Nothing changes those things. And the truth is that what happened in the past, it can't be altered in any way. Do you know, people try to alter truth all the time. For example, it's impossible to erase what happened, but sometimes you can eliminate that in the minds of people simply by not teaching it anymore, not talking about it, not passing it on. That's the danger that we face in this world as we live as Christians. We need to pass it on. We need to teach others. We need to make disciples of men. We need to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And we need to continue to teach the things that Jesus taught on a continual basis. But it is possible for people to forget. We read that this morning in the book of Hebrews lessons. That's one of the things they did. They forgot. Hebrews chapter 12, and I believe it was verse 13. But they forgot. They forgot the things that God did. They forgot what God did bringing them out of Egypt. The mighty hand of God opening the Red Sea up so they could cross over on dry land. The manna in the desert. The water from a rock. They forgot those things. And I assure you, they didn't pass them on. Some of them didn't pass them on to their children. But that didn't change it. It still happened. And it may be dying in the minds of some people, but it doesn't change it. And you want proof. You look at the news station today. What do you see? Almost everywhere, what do you see? Rioting. Stealing from businesses. Breaking windows and stealing property. Destroying property. Burning down entire cities and neighborhoods and buildings. What do you see? People are attacking the innocent. And somebody walking down the street gets attacked and bricked, they call it. What do you see? They're causing people to fear. And what is it being said? What's being said about it? You know, the truth is, they're rioting, burning down houses, breaking into people's businesses, destroying, stealing property, burning down. But what do people say? If you look at this image on the screen now, you see an image of a man, a group of people knocking over a car, breaking windows, rioting. And you notice what the tagline says? It's all the peaceful protesters as police fire tear gas, rubber bullets on peaceful protesters. The truth doesn't change. And the reason you might ask, you know, why are you bringing it? Well, because so many people lie about so many things, and then so many people believe the lie, but the truth never changes. And the history, the event itself, it's a done deal. It does never changes. And people will continue to deny truth. Again, that's a prerogative that we all have. But it hasn't changed. This isn't something new. In Jesus' day, people saw what Jesus did. They heard the very things that He taught. They saw Jesus coming into the world as John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." They heard that. And they saw Him. And then they saw Him turn water into wine. They heard His teaching about the kingdom of heaven and about salvation through water and Spirit. About the forgiveness of sin. They were the first-hand witnesses to the healings. A nobleman's son. The lame man at the pool of Bethesda. The blind man who recovered his sight. The feeding of the 5,000, the walking upon the sea, raising of Lazarus. They were witnesses. They saw these things. And some did believe in Jesus, and they continued to believe in Jesus. They believed that He was indeed the Messiah. When they saw Him coming into Jerusalem, riding upon that donkey, we preached about that last week. They laid down the branches of the palm trees and they laid their outer garments down along the road and they were crying out, "Hosanna, blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord." Who? The King of Israel. And so these people knew. These people knew. And yet to this very day, there are people who refuse. And I'm going to use the word to admit Jesus is Christ. They refuse to admit that Jesus is the Savior, the only Savior. They refuse to admit that what all the witnesses say about Jesus is true. They refuse to admit that there's only one way to heaven. They refuse to admit that Jesus even existed. But you know why I use the word admit is because it's got nothing to do with belief. Because everyone can hear the same message. Everyone understands the validity of the Scripture, even people who don't believe in the Bible. Jesus was a real person, historically speaking. Jesus, by many witnesses, did all these things. They're historical events and they can't be changed. Whether we admit it or not, these things are true. And you know what is the real problem here? People have, quote unquote, their own will. And your own will, my own will, can work in us in two ways. And the way that it works in people that refuse to admit the truth that's right before their eyes, it hardens their own hearts against the history, against the truth. And after all, how difficult is that history laid out? How difficult is that truth? It's clear evidence. God told us, just look at the creation. We'll think of that in a second. Just look at everything that's made. And you either admit it, that it's marvelous and wondrous, that there was a design to it and there has to be a designer, or you can choose not to admit it. And so because of that, to this very day, we're still asking the same questions that were asked in this book of John. The same question. Lord, who has believed our report? You know, this is like a report. A policeman makes an arrest, he fills out a report. You can believe it or not. But here we have a report right from God, and people still refuse to believe it. And you know what is really, really disturbing about it, this is you read verse 37 and verse 38. And it says here that although he had done so many signs before them that they did not believe in him. They saw it again. They saw all these things. Their facts. They saw the feeding. They saw the 5,000. They saw all these things. They're factual. But it says they did not believe. That just boggles the mind. And that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke. Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? And I would put it to you, the arm of the Lord has been revealed to you. I put it to you that the arm of the Lord through the Scriptures, both the Old and the New Testament, has been revealed to you. And we need to admit, or we deny. In verse 39 and in verse 40, we read, therefore they could not believe. Now, listen carefully, because Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts. And I want you to, you know, think about that with me for a moment. It says that he hardened their hearts. And if we go back and we look at Isaiah chapter 6 with me at verse 10. Isaiah chapter 6 and at verse 10. And we'll read this at the time in which Isaiah was told this by God. And you know what's interesting about this is that the people had forgotten, their hearts were hardened, but what was it that hardened their hearts? In Isaiah chapter 6, and at verse 10, there we go. Make the heart of these people dull, God said. And their eyes, their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return and be healed. And so, you know, sometimes we go, well, is God the one that caused them to not be able to admit, not be able to believe? Is he the one that caused them not to see? Well, if you go up to verse 9, you get a hint that that's not necessarily so. It says, and he said, go and tell this people, this is God telling Isaiah, go tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. And he says, keep on seeing, but do not perceive. That's the answer. These people heard and they saw, but they chose not to understand and they chose not to see. It wasn't that God blinded them and made them unable to hear, but it was all the things that they were doing. Their sins, their iniquities, their refusal to obey God, their refusal to accept the blessings of God, the things that He had promised from the beginning. And it says, when it says they keep on hearing, God says, you just keep on doing that. And not understand. You keep on doing that. You keep on seeing, but don't see. Don't understand. Don't perceive. See, it was their will. And when we think about our will and their will and trying to understand this prophecy, you know, what is it that made the people's heart dull? What was it that made it so they could not understand? What was it that made their eyes heavy so that they couldn't hear? We just said it. They just kept on doing the things they were doing. They were disobedient, stiff-necked, the Bible referred to them. This is at a point in time where God's putting an end to this. He's going to send them off. The king of Assyria is going to come in. They're going to be taken into captivity. And we see that in verse 9, that it was them that were unable to hear and to see, to understand. In Isaiah chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, you know, God asks why. Look at that. Isaiah chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. It's amazing. He says, "And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, men of Judea, please, between me and my vineyard, what more could have been done to my vineyard?" What more could I have done is what God's saying. The vineyard now, we realize, that represents Israel. And He's saying, what more could I have done that I have not done? Why then, when I expected to bring forth good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? And now, please, let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard, He says. I will take away its hedge and it shall be burned, and break down its walls and it shall be trampled down. Why? Because God gave them everything possible, everything that they needed. You look back at their history and all the things that He did, bringing them into the land, crossing that river Jordan into the promised land, defeating the armies. He did everything. He defeated the armies for them. He made them victorious, and then they produce what? Bad grapes, bad fruits. Who has believed our report? These are things that are historically factual. And the people chose to follow false prophets, to worship idols, to worship in places other than Jerusalem, to do things the easy way instead of the right way. They chose not to obey God. And they would be punished because of that. That's why. That's what happened. That's why their hearts were dull. That's why their ears were heavy. That's why they shut their eyes. And that's why God said, go tell this people to keep on hearing, but don't understand. Keep seeing, but don't perceive. You see, they would be punished because why? They worshipped idols. They didn't trust God. They forgot. They forgot His greatness and the power of His mighty hand. You know, and the Jews in Isaiah's days, they deliberately rejected God. They took pleasure in unrighteousness. The Scriptures tell us that. The Jews then, as many as men today, haughty, arrogant, condescending when it comes to God, resisting the spiritual blessings of God. And there might be some today, even in this very house, who are like those in Jesus' day that we're reading about here in the book of John. There might be some today, even here today, that are self-righteous, proud, pleasures of life more than the promises of God. People who love the allegiances, the friendships and camaraderie of this material world instead of the things of heaven, the things of the Spirit. Even after all the proofs, they choose to refuse and believe, to acknowledge the truth. And because of this, soon that message and the history begins to fade and their unbelief deepens. I want to tell you, within man, within all of us, man, women, that there is a spiritual force within each of us. And that spiritual force is one of two things. It's a force for good, or it's a force for evil. That force is called our will, my will, your will. We have a will that can either work good or work evil. And as we use that force, it hardens. As we use it and exercise it, it hardens. And listen, it either hardens for good or it hardens for evil. In either direction, good or evil, that's what that force is all about. So every time we say, I don't believe, it gets harder. Every time we deny what things actually happen, like these people here that are prophesied about and from Isaiah. When we look at these things and he says, Lord, who has believed our report, and in whom has the arm of the Lord revealed? Therefore they could not believe because Isaiah said again. Why? Their will took over in the sense of evil. Three factors of hardening of a heart: a man's own will, God's message, and the deceitfulness of sin. Our will can cause us to just walk away from anything that's true, anything that's right, anything that's good, and choose to riot, choose to break windows on businesses, choose to steal, choose to harm people. We can choose to burn down buildings and we can call it good. We're doing this for good. That's my will. Of course, we know better, but we deny the truth. God's message, peace and love, right? Jesus, my peace I leave with you, not the peace of this world. It's better, right? Love your neighbors as yourself. It's better. Love those who persecute you, who do all manner of evil against you for my name's sake. Blessed. Good things. But we choose our will over God's will. And then, of course, the deceitfulness of sin. You know, it's a sin to lie. And these people in this text, what did they do? It tells us that they rejected Jesus out of fear. Why is God's wrath revealed? Let's look at Romans, real quickly, Romans chapter 1. This is we're thinking about God, creation, and we're wondering why is God's wrath revealed. In Romans chapter 1, right at verse 18, it gives us a real quick summary. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Anytime we suppress the truth, it's in unrighteousness. Because that's called a lie. And when these people saw the things Jesus did, heard the teachings of Jesus, understood that He indeed was something more than just a man, they saw His divinity. It's undeniable. You can't raise people from the dead unless you're divine. And what did the Scripture say? It says that because of the Pharisees, because they feared the Pharisees, they feared being tossed out of the synagogue, that they lied. That lie was unrighteousness. And that's why God's wrath is revealed from heaven. It goes on to say that because of that which may be known of God is manifest in, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And again, for us today, we can admit there's a God and we can deny there's a God. We can do that. We can say, I believe there's a God, and we can say, I don't believe there's a God. It's the same thing. But when you go out and look at everything that's made, when you look at the fashioning of the human body, the human eye, all the marvelous, wonderful things of creation, and you just choose not to admit that there's a creator, a designer, that's your will. And you can do that, but you're working for evil, not for good. And certainly you're not working for yourself. You see, they did not want to retain God in their knowledge. The Scripture tells us that. Verse 21. Although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, into birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them over to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie. They worshiped the creature rather than the Creator. What's happening there with those Jews in our text? What's happening with those Jews? They're afraid of the Pharisees. So who are they really worshiping? Who are they placing high on the scale? The Pharisees, being in the synagogues, personal associations, the natural things of this world, or things that are eternal? The things that Jesus preached about. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. They saw the power of the Godhead, and they refused it. And they're without excuse. They knew, just like we know, God. But they chose not to glorify God. That's what these Jews were doing. They didn't glorify Jesus. Why didn't they say, I saw Him raise Lazarus from the dead. I saw that He walked on water. I saw Him feed the 5,000. I saw. I heard Him teach about the kingdom in a way that no man has ever taught. No, they denied Jesus. Right there in the text. They denied Jesus. And when we think about that, you know, we learn from this. The recorded history. And we choose whether we're going to obey or not obey. Whether our hearts are going to be darkened or whether our hearts are going to be filled with light. And we will probably, in that case, be filled with boasting about ourselves, about the things that we've accomplished or the things, great things in this world. Maybe we're just too wise to believe. We're too wise to admit what we're seeing right before our eyes. And we'll end up worshiping anything and everything other than the truth, other than the Creator, other than Jesus. That's what these people are looking forward to. As it was in the past, so it will be today. Some will drag as many down to the burning hell with them for a simple reason. Again, look at Romans chapter 1. What does it say? It gives a long list here of the things that are unapproved. It says that in verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, covetousness, full of envy, murder, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undeserving, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. What do you think is happening to the children of these men and women who denied Jesus on that day? What's happening to their families? What's happening to associations, people that respect them, and when they denied that Jesus is the Christ? When they just refused to admit or to voice the truth because of fear of the Pharisees? They're dragging people right down with them. And especially, I believe, their own children. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 9 through 10. It says, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, lying wonders. and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish. Why? Because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Now listen, it says, for this reason. What's the reason? They did not receive the love of the truth. They would not admit the truth. They would not believe what their eyes saw and what their ears heard. They would not believe. And it says, for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie. That they all should be condemned, it says, who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You think, you go through that verse in your mind, those few verses in your mind, and think, you know, there were some who back in those days, they taught Jesus already came. There's some people today who teach the same thing. They call it the AD 70 doctrine, but it wasn't true. There was no evidence, no proof, all kinds of proof from the apostles' teaching and so on that He was going to come, even from the words of the mouth of the Savior. Falling away from the faith. You see that in verse 3 of our text. And excluding oneself from worship, practicing lawlessness, verse 7, and not having a love for the truth. Those are things that cause us to fall away, to go into apostasy. And that's the very definition. And these are recognizable attributes of apostasy, every one of them. Every one of them. And so, you know what it is? It boils down to fear. Fear. They were afraid of the power, the supposed power of the Pharisees, the rulers of the time, to cast them out of the synagogue if they were to admit what they saw, if they were to pronounce and proclaim the things that Jesus taught to be true. And the Scripture tells us in verse 43 of our text there in John 12 that they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Those are things that can't be denied. Didn't have a love of the truth, as we read about in Thessalonians chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians. And listen, my friends, if that persists, if you persist in disbelief, if you persist to refuse to admit, if you just deny the truth, the time will come when your heart, where you harden your own heart because of your own strong will, and you'll be unable to believe. You'll be unable to connect with Jesus. You'll be unable to submit and obey to His teaching. When you fear the rebuke of others, you're putting yourself in a position where you're hardening your heart against God. The truth is that both will, the will of man and the Word of God, are involved in the process of hardening a heart. Notice what God said in Exodus chapter 7. He's speaking of Pharaoh. I will harden Pharaoh's heart. He will harden Pharaoh's heart. But if you notice in chapter 8 and verse 32, it tells us that, but Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time. What was it that hardened Pharaoh's heart? It was all the things that God promised Israel. It's the fact that they were going to be set free. It's all the messages that Moses, let my people go. All those things hardened his heart because of his own will to fight against God. The signs and the wonders that Pharaoh saw, they just hardened his heart more and more and more because he chose not to admit he was wrong. God is right. But just as Pharaoh had control over his own heart, the good news is we have control over our heart. Look at Hebrews chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. The Hebrew writer says, but I exhort one another daily while it is called today. You see that? Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Remember, lying is a sin. changing the facts is a sin. For we have become partakers, he says, of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of the confidence of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts in the rebellion. In this book, in this time, Jesus came into Jerusalem. Many people said, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. But many people who saw the same signs, the same wonders, came up with a different answer. Why? Is there two truths? No. Was there two historical facts? No. They all saw the same thing. They all heard the same thing. The difference is that these people hardened their hearts out of fear, out of fear of retribution. And as a result, they won't have this good news. So the question here is, you know, how can I know if I've hardened my heart? Don't love the praise of men more than the praise of God. If you're more concerned about what your neighbor thinks of you, your boss thinks of you, your spouse thinks of you, your children think of you, all your friends, if you're worried about what everybody, then you've begun that process, if not completed that process of hardening your hearts. We read that in verse 43. Don't love the praise of men more than the praises of God. And verses 44 through 47, underline, believe in Jesus. Why? Because of what he taught, because of what he did, and what is seen. Remember Romans 1 and 20, the creation, you look at the creation, it speaks of God. You can't deny that. And so, if you're denying what you see with your eyes, if you're denying what the Scripture says in your ears, then you're hardening your heart. Don't reject Jesus and His words. I think that's pinnacle, bottom line truth. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word which I have spoken will judge him in the last day. Don't reject Jesus' words. Jesus, in this world, many people reject his words wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. John 12 and 38, the Lord who has believed our report is the question. And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? There are so many people in this world that just reject truth. And I want you to think about that. Won't you set your will just simply to be His will? Let thy will be done is what Jesus said to the Father. Not my will, but your will. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Let your will be God's will, and watch what great things happen. We live in a world today where one of the most famous preachers in the world, I read an article where he said that I believe that there will be people saved today that have nothing to do with the church. People who have never even known the name of Jesus. There will be people who are of other faiths and other religions, but they'll be saved because God will save them. John 6:45 says you have to hear and be taught. That's what we believe. Don't harden your heart by listening to some other fable. In John chapter 20, verse 31, you need to believe that Jesus is who He says He is, and you need to make that faithful confession before men. In Acts chapter 8, and verse 37, that Ethiopian eunuch said, I believe. Luke chapter 13 and 3, repent of your sins. Don't listen to the world and that says that, you know, you're a Christian and now you can live any way you want, you can commit adultery and murder and fornicate, all kinds of manners of sin, but it doesn't matter. They tell that to people who they believe are saved. We're not. If we haven't obeyed Christ, if we haven't heard and believed what we've heard, believe the record, then you need to repent of sin. Luke chapter 13 at verse 3. We need to confess Jesus before this assembly today. If you haven't done so, Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, Jesus says, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. In verse 33, and if you do not confess me before men, neither will I confess you before the Father. In the world that we live in today, they simply say, believe. You believe in Jesus, you're saved. You don't have to do anything else. It's that mental ascent on up into heaven. Well, that's not true. And you need to put that away. That's the will of man, not the will of God. The will of God is that you confess Jesus before men. And the will of God is that you're baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. The will of God is that's what you do. The will of man is that you don't need to do that. Who are you going to believe? Trust the will of God, not the will of man, and certainly not our own will over God. You'll be added to the body of Christ through that act of baptism, that obedient act. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Acts chapter 2, verse 47. As many as believed were baptized that day, and the Lord added them to the church. Listen, you gotta put away our will. Trust in God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. That's the will of God. And if you can do that, then there will be a day, as you live a faithful life in Christ, there will be a day when you'll see the promise of heaven. A day when the light of the world, which is Jesus Christ, will really light up your life for eternity. I hope this has been clear, and I hope you understand. And I hope that if you have not obeyed the gospel, that you will this very day. And if you need to repent, we're here as a church to help you, to pray for you. Whatever your need might be, please do it today while it's still called today. Come forward as we stand and as we sing.